In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm just looking at King Agrippa and Festus and what they say in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the 31st verse. "And when they were gone aside," that is Agrippa and Festus, "they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of chains. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Why did Paul appeal unto Caesar? Because he wants to witness to Caesar who is the real God, who is the real Lord, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose from the dead. So we continue. Paul sets sail for Rome, and we look at chapter 27, verse 14. "But not long after, there arose against them a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we were exceedingly tossed with the tempest. The next day they lightened the ship." They threw things over the ship because they want the ship to stay in one piece. But Paul's going to tell them something else. "And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars nor many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, a long fasting, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall not be any loss of any man's life among you, only the ship will be destroyed. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought unto Caesar, and lo, God hath given you all them that sail with thee." In other words, nobody in the boat is going to die if they follow Paul's instructions, but the boat will be ruined, the ship will be ruined. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as I have told you. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it was only 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast out 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take food, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray to you to take some food, for this is for your health, for there shall not be a hair that will fall off of your head. each will be saved. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Sounds like the Eucharist. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 276 souls. That's 276 people were in this ship. And Paul says they're all going to be saved. How does he know? An angel of the Lord came to him and told him everything's going to be all right, but not with the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, threw things over, and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with the shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to wind, and made toward the shore. And falling into place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with violence of waves. We see that the ship is destroyed, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that that which were to swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some of broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all to the safe land. Where did they arrive at? You know where they arrived at? Malta. Malta, near Italy. Yes, Malta, near Italy. Do you know that if you go to Malta, the boys' names, there are so many Pauls, because they landed at Malta. Let's go, 28th chapter of Acts of the Apostles. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because it was cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper, a snake out of the heat, and fastened on the hand of Paul. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on Paul's hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not him to live." And Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So they first say that he's a murderer. Now they're going to look at him and think that he's a god. Howbeit, they looked when he saw they have nothing swollen, and he didn't fall down dead. But after they looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said he was a god. It's crazy. People are crazy. First they think he's a murderer, now they think he's a god. He's a Christian. Paul is a Christian. Remember what Jesus said, you should handle snakes. That's what he meant. When people are out in mission and they get bitten by snakes, they will live. That's what he meant, not playing around with snakes. That's foolish. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged with us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick with the fever. So what do you think is going to happen? Paul entered in and prayed over the father of Publius, laid hands on him, and healed him. Now what do you think is going to happen? Just like Jesus, they're all going to come to be healed. It's free clinic. Listen. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and healed them, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they landed us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria. What do you think Paul did for 3 months in Malta? He preached Jesus. He baptized people. Oh, yes. He preached Jesus. And if he didn't baptize people, other people baptized people which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, Christians, who desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. So there were Christians even in these areas now. Remember the roads that Caesar built? All roads lead to Rome. The people used the roads to bring the gospel to people. So there were Christians in this area. And from thence, when the brethren heard us, they came to meet us, as was Pippi, Forum, and the three taverns whom Paul saw. He thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain and the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, now he's got the Jewish people first. And what do you think he's going to do? Going to preach to them. And who do you think he's going to preach? Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ buried, and Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. That's right. That's what Felix and Agrippa said. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of anything. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because of that of the hope of Israel, I am bound with chains. Who is the hope of Israel? His name is Jesus. He is the Messiah. Who is the hope of Israel? It is Jesus. And Paul is going to speak to the Jewish people about Jesus. They're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. Only a few. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you. And we desire to hear you what you think. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodgings, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, and they did it from morning till night. Paul's going to preach morning to night. Thanks be to God, he doesn't have a hoarse voice. He wants to preach to these Jewish people so that they would come to know Jesus Christ and that they would give their life to Jesus. And some believed the things that Paul spoke, and some didn't believe. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after the spoken word. They spoke of the Holy Ghost, what Isaiah the prophet said to us, saying, go to this people, the Jews, and say, hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For this heart has become hardened, and their ears dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. They will hear it. In other words, you didn't listen, you didn't accept the Lord, you didn't give yourself to Jesus, you didn't get baptized, so I'm going to the Gentiles. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reason among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. For 2 years in a rented house, preaching Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. This is Paul. This is Paul. Remember, Paul had no reason to be killed because he didn't do anything wrong. Even Agrippa, King Agrippa and Festus, the governor, said that if he wanted to, he could be released. There was nothing wrong that he did. I tell you, this Paul is like nobody else. He is the preacher of the gospel. He is the one who will tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ. He always goes to the Jews first, and then he goes to the Gentiles. Paul is a great man of God. We're going to take the prayer of Pope Francis for the Jubilee Year of Mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us to be merciful, like the Heavenly Father is merciful. And you have told us that whoever sees you sees the Heavenly Father. Show us your face and we will be saved. Oh yes, Lord, show us your face and we will be saved. That's all we need to look at is your face, Jesus. Your loving gaze freed Zacchaeus and Matthew from being enslaved by money. They were both tax collectors. The adulteress and Magdalene from seeking happiness only in created things made Peter weep after his betrayal and assured paradise to the repentant thief. Today you shall be with me in paradise, he said. Let us hear, as if addressed to each one of us, the words that you spoke to the Samaritan woman. If you only knew the gift of God. And my question is, do you know the gift of God today? His name is Jesus. Do you know that he wants to give living water? Do you know that he wants to give forgiveness? Do you know that he wants to give mercy? You are the visible face of the invisible Father of the God who manifests his power above all by forgiveness and mercy. In other words, God's power is shown most of all through forgiveness and mercy. Let the church be your visible face in the world, its Lord risen and glorified, Jesus. You will that your ministers would also be clothed in weakness in order that they feel compassion for those who are in ignorance and in error. Let everyone who approaches them feel sought after, yes, loved, yes, forgiven by God, yes. Send your Holy Spirit and consecrate every one of us with its anointing of the Jubilee of Mercy. May this be a year of grace from the Lord and for your church. With renewed enthusiasm, may bring good news, the gospel to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives and to the oppressed, and restore sight to the blind. We ask this of you, Lord Jesus, through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of Mercy. For you live, Jesus, and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Again, the Pope tells us it's all about mercy. It's not about judgment. It's all about forgiveness. It's not about torment. God doesn't torment. I want you to know today, God's not unhappy. He's not unhappy. He's not an unhappy God. He is the God who is filled with joy. He is the God who is filled with mercy. He is the God who is filled with understanding. God understands. I'll never forget. This was not in confession. This was in a dining room that one lady told me. It was in the bottom of the church, really. One lady told me that she had 6 abortions. And I said to her, honey, God wants to forgive you. She said, no, it's too bad. I said, God is filled with mercy. God is filled with love. God is filled with compassion. He wants to forgive you. She says, I can't accept it. She couldn't accept it. Now, what she did was absolutely wrong, but the Lord loved her. And the Lord wanted her to know mercy and forgiveness, but she wouldn't accept it. She wouldn't accept it. It's very sad. I'm looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. That's John the Baptist making ready for Jesus Christ in his ministry. John did baptize in the wilderness, and he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all from the land of Judea and from Jerusalem, and they were baptized by John in the river of the Jordan, confessing their sins. So John preaches repentance and a baptism of forgiveness. And John was clothed with camel's hair. I said that was just unkosher. And with the girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. I told you the locust was the bean tree, the black beans. They were awful looking. And he preached, saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. One mightier than John. That this one that is coming after John, that John is making ready for him to come, that this one will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Are you a Christian today? Do you know that you are a son or a daughter of God? Do you know that God wants you to hear, you are one of my beloved sons, one of my beloved daughters, and I love you. Then he told us to listen to Jesus. How many of us really listen to Jesus? We go to Mass and we hear the gospel. We don't even know what was said because we're thinking of the roast. We need to listen to the gospel. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to listen to the Word of God. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Why the wild beasts? Because Mark is writing to the community in Rome, and they are going to the wild beasts. And he's saying to them, Jesus was with the wild beasts in the desert, and everything came out all right, and everything's going to be all right with you. After you die, you're going to heaven. Jesus was with the wild beasts. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel of life, really. The gospel of truth. The gospel of joy. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. We see that the gaze of Jesus must have been so loving and so powerful that they would leave their boat and go follow Jesus. This is amazing. This is amazing. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Jesus. And when he had gone a little farther, hence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who also were in the ship, and they were mending their nets. And straightway he called them and left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after Jesus. Yes, they went after Jesus. I want to just say just a couple of things about this. The eyes of Jesus must have been so penetrating that these four men would leave everything to follow Jesus. These four men would leave everything to follow Jesus. Peter and Andrew, James and John, left everything to follow Jesus. What about you? Will you leave your sins behind? Will you leave your doubts behind? Will you leave your fear behind? Will you leave it behind and will you say, Jesus, I want to follow you like Andrew. I want to follow you like Peter. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to tell you it's the year of mercy. God wants to show you mercy. God wants to show you forgiveness. God wants to show you love. The only thing you need to do is turn away from your sins and get to confession. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.